I don't want to waste another second. We are joined right now by a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports, studio analyst for the New York Knicks broadcast for MSG Network. As a player, he led Miami of Ohio to the Sweet 16 in 1999. He was selected with the sixth overall pick in the 1999 NBA draft by the Minnesota Timberwolves. He did play 10 years in the NBA for the T-Wolves, the Celtics, the Supersonics, and the Cavs. Wally Szczerbiak joins me. Wally, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I am great. How you doing, Jim? Always good, fun to talk to you.
Appreciate you, dude, very much. Hey, Wally, how bat bleep crazy is this tourney? And have you ever seen anything like it?
It's awesome. It really is. This is what March Madness is all about. Coming from a mid-major school like Miami, having a Cinderella run like we did, and now seeing a team like Florida Atlantic in the Final Four, a team like San Diego State out of the Mountain West, who we cover heavily in the Final Four, this is what it's all about. A lot of high seeds are playing good basketball. We expected this with the transfer portal, so I absolutely love it. It's been a fun ride so far, and I can't wait to get to Houston.
Preach, I agree. Wally Szczerbiak joining us. So why don't we talk about San Diego State for a minute. If you go to the end of that game, Creighton-San Diego State, clearly Creighton's Ryan Nemhard made contact with Darion Trammell. Do you think the refs made the right decision by calling a foul with less than 2 seconds left in a tie game, given the way the rest of the game had been officiated, Wally?
It was absolutely a foul. That was the right call. You have to make that call at that time. Now, you said it correctly. There were a lot of other fouls that could have been called throughout the course of that game. One I remember distinctly is when in the backcourt, Keyshad Johnson swiped at Ryan Nemhard, hit him on the wrist. He hurt his wrist, the wrist that he had broken last year and missed time, but the whistle wasn't blown just because it was in the backcourt and it really didn't affect the play. When you officiate San Diego State, you have to keep them honest on the defensive end of the floor. They're very strong. They're very smart. They're very experienced. They're an outstanding defensive team. At the same time, every time you have the ball, they're going to swipe at it. They're going to try to knock it out of your hands. When you grab a rebound or a loose ball, they're going to be all over you, bumping you, grabbing you, holding you, and pushing you. And I think there were a lot of missed calls in that game that the officials did not keep San Diego State honest.
Wally Szczerbiak is joining us. They are a really physical team, and they really get after you defensively. What about Miami? I mean, 17 years, Wally, after Jim Larrañaga led George Mason to the Final Four, he's done it again, leading Miami to the Final Four at age 73. Not only are they headed to Houston, but they came back from 13 down against a really good Texas team to punch that ticket. What do you like best about this Cane squad as they get ready for their first Final Four?
Well, first of all, Jim Larrañaga is an outstanding coach. He really is. I remember battling against him when he was at Bowling Green when I was a freshman and sophomore at Miami. That's where he kind of got his start. His son played on the team. Now his son's coaching in the NBA. He was with the Celtics for a little while. So they are great basketball minds. And he did not panic down 13. He knew his team wasn't going to panic. He was continuing to shoot the ball well and score the ball well. And they didn't settle for threes. I give them a lot of credit. The game before, they torched Houston from the three-point line. Nigel Pack made seven threes. They saw they had an advantage. They put their head down, and they drove the ball to the basket. They were rewarded with 32 free throws. They made 28 of them. They attacked in the mid-range. Isaiah Wong is one of the best mid-range scorers in college basketball. And they just continued to, you know, be the aggressors. And I always learned Flip Saunders, the late, great Flip Saunders as a coach. He said the more aggressive team, will get the benefit of the doubt from the referees. And they continued to put their heads down and attack, got themselves to the free throw line. I think Texas was scoreboard watching a little bit. They were settling for threes because they were on fire from the three-point line in the first half. They shot 7-for-13. And once those threes didn't fall in the second half, that's when the momentum shifted and Miami just continued to keep the foot on the gas and got the win.
Yeah, they did not flinch. They did not blink at all. And sidebar, I love Flip Saunders, one of my favorite guys. Wally Szczerbiak joining us. Wally, what about UConn? They've been a monster. They've won their games by an average of 22.5. Dan Hurley has defeated teams coached by Rick Pitino, Randy Bennett, Eric Musselman, and Mark Few. As wide open as this tournament has been, do you recall seeing a dominant four-game stretch like the one UConn has had going into the final?
Gonzaga a few years ago. They won by 15-plus all the way into the Final Four when they had that buzzer beater against UCLA. They were dominating their region. Nobody was even coming close to them. I think that was 2 years ago in the bubble, and that's exactly what UConn's been doing. I mean, this UConn team is too deep at every position. The fact that they have Adama Sanogo, who was Big East Player of the Year, or maybe first-team All-Big East, and they come off the bench with Donovan Clingan, who reminds me of Walker Kessler from last year. Long, athletic, you know, really runs well, great defender. I mean, his arms look like they just keep going. It's just unfair, you know, what they have down in the post. And then their perimeter on defense is very, very athletic, very strong, very rangy, a lot like San Diego State. And it makes it very difficult to beat them off the dribble. And if you do, you got those two guys protecting the rim. So I think UConn is definitely the favorites coming into the Final Four. And we'll see if anyone can compete with them because they've just been blowing through the competition.
See, well, I see it the same way. I think they really are the favorite. I mean, obviously, they're the ones to beat coming into the Final Four. But historically, these dominating teams going into the Final Four generally do not finish. Is there anything to that, and would that apply to this team?
Yeah. You got to remember, UConn lost 6 out of 7 in a stretch in the Big East this
incredible.
Year.
Incredible.
So they are gettable. And if I'm any of the, if I'm Miami, I'm watching those games and I'm trying to figure out how to slow this team down. Obviously, they got back to their principles, which is defense and rebounding. They weren't doing that during that stretch when they lost games. And it's also a credit to how good the Big East was. The Big East was just a joy to watch this year. There were a lot of good teams in that league, a lot of good coaches in that league. So they were really pushing UConn at that point. And I think that made them better. But I think there's a blueprint to beat them. I think you have to try to keep the game close with UConn. I think in a close game, they struggle to score because Hawkins is more of a catch-and-shoot guy. They don't really have a pick-and-roll playmaker. Tristan Newton's pretty a great defender at the point guard position. He's got great length, but he's not really a scorer. He's more of like a role guy that's a great defender and a glue guy. And then sometimes when you need to score down in the post with Sanogo, it's tough to get a guy the ball down the stretch with how physical the games can be. So the key to beating UConn is keep the game close, just like Miami's been showing that they're really good down the stretch of games. They have guards that can finish.
I appreciate that. So they are the ones to beat, but they're gettable. Wally, I had Dusty May on earlier this hour. What do you make of Florida Atlantic? I mean, they're headed to the Final Four for the first time in school history as a 9. They had never even won a tournament game before, but they did win 35 games this year. What's curious to me, Wally, is they don't have anybody on that team averaging more than 14 points and only 3 who are averaging more than 10. What's that say about how well Dusty May has coached this team without having that one legitimate go-to guy who can consistently take over games and get you buckets when necessary?
It's impossible to prepare for them because they have guys coming off the bench that can be their leading scorers. The key to that team is Vladislav Golden. I mean, he transferred in from Texas Tech, so he is legit power five, you know, size. You know, that guy in the middle protects the rim, plays a lot like, you know, some of the big men on UConn. And when you have that piece, you know, normally mid-major type teams don't have that type of big man, but the fact that they have that piece protecting the rim, and he was great scoring over smaller guys in the last matchup against K-State, then you can play 4 guys around him that can switch everything, that are just relentless, you know, catching, getting all those loose rebounds, and that's what this team does. They move the ball. They're strong. I mean, the power that those guards have is impressive. Elijah Martin, I love his game. He's built like a brick. I mean, that guy is strong. He's tough to get around. They're built a lot like San Diego State. They're a little bit older team. They're a strong team. They've put in the work in the weight room and obviously on the floor. So that's what makes them so good. And they can, no doubt in my mind, can they cut down the nets in Houston.
Well, Zerbiak breaking it all down for us. Before you go, I'd really like to get your thoughts on Kansas State's Marquise Noel. He backed up his tournament record while he 19-assist game in that Sweet 16 win by going 30 points and 12 assists in the loss to FAU. I mean, this dude was just electric and all heart. That said, the association is a different deal. You know the league as well as anybody. Do you think that the 5'8" Noel projects in the NBA? And if so, how well? What's his future look like to you?
Well, there's, you know, Jose Alvarado has made a great career for himself in the NBA, but he's done it with his defense. The key with Marquise Noel is how can he defend? You got to remember a guy like Jimmer Fredette was an incredible scorer in the NCAA tournament and in college. And then when he got to the NBA, he was a high draft pick. He was 10th pick in the draft. He just couldn't guard his position. That's going to be the key for Marquise Noel. Can he guard his position? Because offensively, he is like Trae Young in the pick and roll. I mean, he sees angles, he sees passing lanes, he's outstanding in commanding a team and running a team, and he's also a great shooter who can shoot out to 30 feet. So the offensive part is not an issue with me. It's just going to be on the defensive end. Can he defend his position at that size? Remember a guy, Earl Boykins, who I played against back at Eastern Michigan and Miami of Ohio? He had a great NBA career with the Denver Nuggets and a couple other teams, but he was more of a scorer. You know, that was his job off the bench, kind of like a Vinnie Johnson microwave type. So we'll see. I think there's a place for a guy like that somewhere on a roster, but it'll be to be determined whether or not he can defend his position.
Boykins had a really nice career. Really quickly, Wally, because you know the Knicks as well as anybody, you cover them. What do they look like to you? Like in Julius Randle, you've got a guy averaging a double-double. You've got Jalen Brunson, who I think was a great pickup. Are they built to not only make the postseason but do damage once they get there this year?
Well, if they hold on to the five seed, I think they have a chance against Cleveland. I think they would struggle against Embiid and Harden in the playoffs. I think Philly, if they're the three seed and the Knicks are the six seed, that would be a tough matchup for them. Listen, they've had a really, really good year. I mean, I think they've really outkicked expectations. Julius Randle bounced back after a tough year last year. He's probably going to be All-NBA second or third team, made the All-Star team, and Brunson has solidified the point guard position, which the Knicks haven't had in years, and he's transformed the franchise with that offseason free agent signing. So the Knicks are in a good place. Their roster is young. 23 and a half years old is their average age for their roster. So the future's bright. They have some cap room. They have some draft picks, and they just need to continue to get better. And this year was a great step in the right direction.
Hey, Wally, you're always great, but never better than right now. Really appreciate you, Wally. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Jimmy. You're the
best. That's how you close the show, man. What a great job. Wally Szczerbiak. Awesome. Awesome job. All class. Great analysis. And still looks better than anybody ever. Wally Szczerbiak. Love it.